Greetings and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. My name is Brian Payne and I'm the chair of the Hospitality Ministries team. It's a joy to have you worship with us today. We invite you to fully participate. You'll find worship materials in the description section of our live feed. As we prepare our hearts and minds to worship, we invite you to light a candle as a sign of Christ's presence with you today. May God be with you as we enter this holy time together.
Greetings, my friends, and welcome to this time of worship together at West End United Methodist Church. I'm so glad to be with all of you during this time and to greet not only the congregation that gathers here in Nashville, Tennessee, but friends who are in Alaska, upstate New York, and Colorado, all of you who have reached out to us to let us know that you're participating in worship every Sunday. And we're so glad that the Spirit unites us in this time of worship together. As we begin this time of worship, I want to draw your attention, whether you're on Facebook or on live stream, to the comment section that will be running alongside the worship service. There will be opportunities even now for you to register your attendance and let us know that you're joining us during this time. There will be links to show you ways to share prayer concerns, to give, to learn more about the mission work of our congregation. And this morning, as we gather at the table for communion, I would invite you, if you haven't already, to take a moment to get some bread and some water or juice or wine so that when that time comes in the service, you can celebrate in the breaking of bread together. And as always, if you have a candle that you could light that connects us in the light of Christ, as our candle does here, we invite you to do that as well. Just one announcement I want to share with you. Starting next Sunday, we have the joy of welcoming Dr. Jimmy Bird, who is a professor at Vanderbilt Divinity School, and also a very good friend of mine. We always watch the Duke Carolina games together. He's going to share with us a Sunday school class that will last for 4 weeks based on some of his research and work around preaching and the use of scripture during the Civil War and how that has informed the conversation around slavery and liberation over the centuries. And he is a wonderful teacher, and he will be teaching us through Zoom, and all of that information will be available in the comment section or through our website, and we hope that you can join us and join in that conversation. Finally, every month when we have communion, we have an opportunity to give to one of the highlighted missions of our congregation. And this month's communion offering will be going to Open Table. So I invite you to join me in sharing this ministry moment and hearing a little bit more about the work of Open Table here in Nashville.
I met Brad at Centennial Park. He lived on the streets in North Nashville mostly and slept on couches of friends and family members.
I was home about 7, 8 years. Really, whatever it took, but out there to survive, probably just, you know, panhandling and sort of thing, but it was rough. It was rough.
He has his own apartment over on 21st, and he has a full-time job that he loves. He gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning and walks to work most of the time.
Get up in the morning, I work at the Hilton Hotel, about 20 minutes ago. I don't know what time I got to be at work. I need to walk, I need to get on that first bus.
I love that move-in day. That's my favorite day, is that day they move in. I've had people not really, even though they knew they were going to get an apartment, they didn't know what the apartment looked like until we walked in there. And then they just burst into tears, or they hug the nearest person, or you know, they're just so, so grateful for the fact that they're gonna get to sleep indoors.
Talk about that day you moved in here, Brad. How much fun we had.
I had a good time. Probably one of the best times of my life. That was a place, you know, when I had my own. And that, down in the streets. One of the best days of my life. Yeah, Brad over there had me to give me place, family place. And I was homeless, and I think open table, and I thank the people who work with me. One for me and one for I still be out in the streets bumping. Got my place, roof over my head. Basically got me on the right track, living right. Thank you, open table.
He's going to church all the time and working with young guys, trying to help them, and it's just really sort of turned himself around in a really great way.
Jesus Christ, be present. calls us to this moment.
Let us worship the God of love.
God's faithfulness draws us toward new possibilities.
Let us worship with hopeful expectation.
God's grace invites us into relationship.
Let us worship as one body in Christ.
Let us continue to worship God as we confess our sins, that we may receive the forgiveness made possible through Christ's life, death, and resurrection. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love, however you may do that today. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer of illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. This is a lesson from the Old Testament, Genesis 24, 42 to 49, and 58 through 67. I came today by the spring and said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you will only make successful the way I'm going, I'm standing here by the spring of water. Let the young woman who comes out to draw, to whom I shall say, please give me a little water from your jar to drink, and who will say to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. Before I'd finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her water jar on her shoulder, and she went down to the spring and drew. I said to her, please let me drink. She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will also water your camels. So I drank, and she also watered the camels. Then I asked her, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, who Milcah bore to him. And so I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her arms. Then I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who led me by the right way to obtain the daughter of my master's kinsman for my master's son. Now then, if you will deal loyally and truly with my master, tell me, And if not, tell me, so that I may turn either to the right hand or to the left. And they called Rebekah and said to her, Will you go with this man? And she said, I will. So they sent away their sister Rebekah and her nurse, along with Abraham's servant and his men. They blessed Rebekah and said to her, May you, our sister, become thousands of myriads. May your offspring gain possession of the gates of their foes. Then Rebekah and her maids rose up, mounted the camels, and followed the man. And thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now Isaac had come from Beer-lahai-roi and was settled in the Negev. Isaac went out in the evening to walk in the field, and looking up, he saw the camels coming. And Rebekah looked up, and when she saw Isaac, she slipped quickly from the camel and said to the servant, Who is the man over there walking in the field to meet us? And the servant said, It is my master. So she took her veil and covered herself, and the servant told Isaac all the things he had done. And then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. He took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children to come a little bit closer and join me for a special moment together. I want to tell you all about a very special person in our congregation. Her name is Mrs. Betty Dobson, and on Thursday, she's going to have a birthday, and she's going to turn 99 years old. Isn't that wonderful? She's been a member of this congregation for a long time and has done lots of different things to serve God through this church and in our community. I always love visiting with Miss Betty. And one time recently, before all of this COVID started and I was able to make some visits with folks, I went to visit her. And she told me about how she used to be the one who made all of our communion bread. She would spend hours making bread and kneading the dough and baking it and watching it and making sure it was just right. And then she would slice it up into small pieces so that everybody who gathered in the sanctuary on Sunday morning could have the bread of Christ and know the grace of God through that bread. You know, the way that she served God by doing and making that communion bread, maybe some people weren't even aware that she did that. Maybe it didn't make the headlines, but it was so important to the life of the congregation and it's such an important way for people to know that God loves them. There are lots of different ways that we serve God. Some of the ways that we serve God are very public and people see who you are and you get lots of credit for what you do. But so many ways that we serve God are quiet and behind the scenes and don't always go noticed. But they're so important to the community of faith, and they're so important in God's eyes. So I hope you'll remember that even though you're small, even though you're a child, there are so many ways that you can serve God and love your neighbor, and it's really important to God that you do that. One way you might do that, if you're a member of the church and you have a church directory, is to send a card to Ms. Betty and wish her a happy birthday this week. Let's pray together. Gracious God, you call us to love you and serve our neighbors in so many different ways. We thank you for all of the people who serve faithfully and quietly, not to get recognition, but just because they love you and they love their neighbors. Help us to show our gratitude for them. Help us to love you and do whatever it is you call us to do, just because we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to tell you all that the sermon this morning is not earth-shattering. It's not particularly profound or groundbreaking. In some ways, it's just a small word. And I know in the midst of the times that we're in on this 4th of July weekend, when we're thinking about our nation and the well-being of our communities and what that means, there's so much that we can be talking about and have been talking about in worship. But as I read the scripture story for this morning, there was just a little blessing I found in it that I felt moved to share with you this morning. Maybe it feels a little smaller than usual because the story is about Isaac and Rebecca. And Isaac and Rebecca don't have big starring roles in the book of Genesis. If you're just joining us for worship this morning for the first time, we're spending the summer in the book of Genesis, going through the stories of God's family, as God began to call out Abraham and Sarah and invite them into a particular special kind of relationship with God. God wanted through them to create a people through their descendants, and through that special relationship, reveal to the whole world the very nature of God, continuing God's purposes to reconcile the whole world to God's self. And God wanted to do it through this particular family. And so Abraham and Sarah and Hagar and others get this huge chunk of the book of Genesis, 10, 12 chapters at least. Next week, we'll begin to hear the story of Jacob. And the story of Jacob takes us through 10 or 12 chapters at least. And then we move on to Joseph, who takes us all the way through to the end of the book of Genesis, these great heroes of the faith. But wedged in the middle, between Abraham and Jacob, are just a couple of chapters about Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac doesn't have many lines in the book of Genesis. In fact, in this chapter 24, this probably the central story of the Isaac set, he doesn't say anything at all. He comes in at the very end of the story. And that's typical for Isaac. Isaac is a character who is acted upon through most of Genesis. As Pastor Aaron so beautifully and profoundly invited us into the story last week, we know that Isaac as a child was led up the mountain and his father Abraham almost sacrificed him. He didn't say a word in that story. Later on, when he's an old man, we see him manipulated by one of his sons, acted upon. And in this story, he is silent. There's really one hero in the story. If that would be one hero, it would be Rebecca. Rebecca is the one who willingly goes where God is calling her to go. She, in a way, imitates Abraham, her future father-in-law, because she says, yes, I will go to a land I've never seen to begin a family that God is calling me to begin. Now, what we've heard of this little story in chapter 24 is just a snippet. It's a long story, and we had to pick what verses we could read in worship that would help it make sense. But let me recap it for just a moment. Abraham is getting older, and he thinks now is the time for his son Isaac to get married so that the family line can continue, the covenant can move forward of God's purposes. And so he sends his servant, probably his steward, Eliezer, to the land that he came from, to go to his brother's household, his brother's family, to see if among the kin who live there, they could find Isaac a wife. And so the story is really the story of the servant's journey, and how he goes and he prays to God and says, if there is a woman who's coming to get water at this well, who is your choice for Isaac, reveal her to me. And voila, here comes Rebecca to the well. And she does everything that Eliezer was looking for. And so he goes with Rebecca to her household and he says, I think that she is meant to be the wife of Isaac. Will you let her come with me? At this point, it seems like a transaction, an arranged marriage. There are lots of camels and lots of jewelry being exchanged. But there's a moment when Rebecca's family asks her, are you willing to go with this man? Are you willing to take this journey? And that's when she says yes. She says yes to God's will for her life, and she steps out in faith to go to a land where she's never been before. She makes the trip with Eleazar and their entourage, and then she arrives at this field in the evening where Isaac is walking back and forth. Now, we don't know for sure Isaac's state of mind here, but we can imagine, as we have read the story leading up to this, it may be that Isaac is in a place of doubt. After his experience as a child being taken up to the mountain with his father Abraham, maybe he has doubts about this God, wondering if this God really loves him and has his best interest at heart, if this God can be trusted. We know that he's in a place of deep grief. His mother Sarah had just died in the chapter before this one, and he has yet to find comfort and healing in his grief. And he's walking alone in the field. And Rebecca and Eleazar arrive, and she sees him. And she slides off her camel and walks toward him. And the story says that Isaac received her into the tent of Sarah, and he loved her. I don't know why, but those three words deeply touched me this week. He loved her. Isaac loved Rebecca. This man who's been acted upon, who's been mostly passive, who hasn't had many lines, gets that verb. He loved Rebecca. Maybe these three words spoke to me because I'm kind of a romantic at heart. I love a good romance of two people meeting each other and falling in love and living happily ever after. Especially in times like this, I find myself drawn to those kinds of stories with happy endings, as Aaron said last week. Maybe I was drawn to these three words because it felt like such a blessing for Isaac, who has been through so much. Maybe I was drawn to these words because they are so rare in the Bible. It is very rare in the Bible for us to learn about partnerships and marriages that are based on love. Marriage is very inconsistently portrayed in the Bible. But here we have two people who find each other and love each other. And so in the midst of this great arc of God's story and what God is doing through Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and the great purposes of God, building God's kingdom on earth, bringing about the reconciliation of the whole world, there is love between two people. I think these three words blessed me also this week because, like many of you probably, as we live in this moment that has so much heaviness to it, as we work so hard to be about God's purposes in the world, as we together as a community fight against the coronavirus and try to navigate this time of pandemic with love for our neighbors and care for one another, as we participate in the deepening of racial justice in our society and figure out how we are called to do that, as we wrestle with all of these big questions and big issues, it can feel so heavy. And sometimes it feels to me that I am so inadequate and that God is just watching me and waiting for me to get it right. And yet here we see a God who is about God's great purposes of reconciliation in the world, and at the same time is ready to enter into the small pieces of Isaac's life and bring him joy and comfort in a real way, in an ordinary way. God blesses Isaac. I don't know how many of you watched the interview that Pastor Brandon did with Dr. Emily Towns. She's the dean of Vanderbilt Divinity School, and he interviewed her a couple of weeks ago on Facebook, and it's up on our website. It is such a wonderful conversation and was a tremendous blessing to me. And one of the things that she said in that conversation that really stuck with me is that in moments like this, in movements like this that we are part of right now, there is always a place for joy. That as the people of God, we are called to be people of hope, to have our eyes open for the blessings of God, big and small, because they sustain us in the work that we're doing. So in this moment, however you are called to be living out God's purposes in the world, to be bringing about God's reconciliation in creation and in relationship and community, I invite you today to open your eyes to the ordinary daily blessings of a good marriage, of a strong friendship, of a loving community, of bread broken and given, our daily bread that feeds us and comforts us and sustains us and gives us what we need to continue the journey. Thanks be to God for blessings big and small. Amen.
I invite you to rise in body or in spirit and join me in our affirmation of faith, number 883. It should be on your screen as well. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time, we invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. You may put them in the chat. If you'd like them to be shared, you may also send them to us via our website. There should be a link in the chat for you, and we will pray for you and for those prayer concerns this week during our pastoral prayer time. This morning, we want to remember Barbara Love and her family, who are mourning the death of her brother, Clark Williams, who passed away on June 28th in Farmington Hills, Michigan. Services were held there on Thursday, July 2nd. We also remember the family and friends of Alan Clark Jenkins, he went by Clark, who attended West End for a number of years. Clark passed away on Tuesday, June 30th. Services were held on Friday, July 3rd in Portland, Tennessee. Now let us turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of love, we give you thanks for the gift of human love, which enriches our lives and helps us to see your image in the people around us. We praise you for the ways in which all of our relationships strengthen us and sustain us in life's joys and sorrows. Oh God, we pray for those who are experiencing those sorrows right now. We lift up those who grieve, those who are lonely, those who are struggling with the loss of health. We pray for those whose relationships are in turmoil, for those who are going through divorce, and for those who have felt betrayed by someone they love. We ask for your healing grace, O God, that you might comfort those who mourn and bind up the brokenhearted. We remember those who have lost their jobs and those who are struggling to make ends meet. And we pray for those throughout our world who do not have access to adequate food or housing or medical care. We ask that you would open our hearts, loving God, that we might care for others as you care for us. On this weekend, when we have celebrated the independence of our nation, we give you thanks for the gifts of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. We give you thanks for the many people throughout our history who have endeavored to make our nation one in which liberty and justice are available to all. And we give you thanks for those who have given their lives on our behalf, that we might live in peace. We pray this day for our nation's leaders, that their decisions might be guided by wise counsel and a concern for the welfare of all people. And we pray for ourselves, that we might be responsible citizens and good stewards of the resources given to us, that one day all of our nation's children might inherit a country that has realized the ideals of the American dream. Hear these prayers, O God, and hear the prayers of our hearts. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We invite you now to give of your tithes and offerings so that our congregation can continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world. You may give through our website, or you can text to give. You can also mail a check to the church. We realize that many are suffering economically right now, but we encourage you to give as you are able. We know that God can multiply those gifts for God's glory and for the benefit of God's kingdom. So let us give with joy this morning.
Thank you.
be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. You created us to be in relationship with you and with one another. But when we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Standing, you may be seated. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. At his ascension, you exalted him to sit and reign with you at your right hand. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you and broke the bread, and then gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we sing the mystery of faith. Your Holy Spirit on us who are gathered here and across the miles through your Holy Spirit. And on these gifts of bread and the cup, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at the heavenly banquet.
Thank you.
now with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. My family in Christ, this is the body of Christ, broken and given, that we might know grace, that we might know love, that we might have peace. And this is the blood of Christ poured out and poured in to you and to me and to all, that we might be one. I invite you now, as you prepare your own elements at home, to join with us who are here in receiving this bread and this cup. We will each take a moment to receive our own elements, and at one and the same time, I will say the bread of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you, and we will all receive at the same time together. A reminder that as we come to the table, everyone is welcome. Everyone is part of this sacrament today. And if you feel led to make a gift to Open Table this morning, that is our mission for this month at the communion table. Let us gather at Christ's table, for we all have a place. My friends, the body of Christ is broken for you, and the blood of Christ is shed for you.
Thank you.
You have given yourself to us, Lord.
Now we give ourselves for others.
Your love has made us a new people.
As a people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Amen. With hearts filled with gratitude, with our spirits filled with the bread and the cup of Christ, with our lives infused with the love and grace of God, may we go from this time of worship to continue God's reconciling work in this world, and may God grant us in that work joy, hope, and peace. Amen.